morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A few announcements. The red pads that you'll see in front of you, if you'd sign those, and name, address, that type of information, we would appreciate it. And for visitors, this information, we'd like to send you a card. We don't show up at your front door or anything. One announcement, really not in the bulletin, from deacons. We have our annual Thanksgiving Day meal on Thanksgiving Day from 12 to 1 o'clock. And it's a deacon event. I believe this is year number 26. If you are able to help, there'll be a sign-up sheet at the back. It may be bringing a side dish, making a turkey, coming for setup, maybe eating. There'll be a separate one for that, or to stay afterwards and clean. But we try to do it from 12 to run and have everyone finished and start at the same time. We were in the paper a year or so ago, and that was a very nice advertisement for us, and we could have anywhere from 80 to 100 or more people here. We never know for sure, but people do call and sign up. So even though it's a deacon event, we need everyone participating to make it a successful event. So thank you for that. Just remind about per capita, $2,785 for this year. It'll be changing in January with a new amount also. You can read about the food bank challenge. And those donations have been moved into the heritage room. They were in the back. And prayer and praise requests are read from the pulpit. You can fill out those cards. And there's Kleenex and things at the back of the church. And if anyone has changed a phone number, email, address, added a cell phone, let the church office know so we can update those. And we would very much appreciate it. And just take a moment about our missional committee that has been meeting for a good while now. Some of the things you might not have, may or may not notice is like outside, the weeding and the trimming of the bushes were done. The front door is going to be painted, and the back of the church looks so much nicer. Cleaned it up and brought some of our historical things out front. So some of the things that could be done relatively easy have been done. Some other things in the process as the team meets, just met this past week and meet again November the 11th. So be in prayer about the future of our church and what we can do to meet our needs, but also the needs of the people in our surroundings. Community, so we can grow and be here another 5, 10, 25, 50, 125 years. So thank you. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, number 561 in your red hymn books, we gather together. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We praise you for opening our lives so we can see Jesus. We believe we can do this through faith. Forgive us when we fail to use everything at our disposal to become better people. Help us to follow you even when we are tired and discouraged. Show us how we can get closer to you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for our personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us once again confess our faith through our Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you don't know someone's name, ask them.
Would all the kids like to come up? Don't be scared. That was a little inappropriate. All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, did you guys know that Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church had a hidden treasure chest?
No.
Yeah.
Actually, I did.
Oh, you did.
I just say no.
So, hi there. Don't worry, it's okay. So, yeah, so I have here the treasure chest from the church. So what do you guys think that's in a treasure chest? Oh, that's okay.
Gold?
Yes, valuable stuff.
Diamonds.
Go ahead.
Probably
coins. Coins, yep.
Crowns,
jewels, yeah, really valuable stuff. So, as head of budget and finance, I'm really kind of hoping some of that stuff is in here. But, go ahead. What's that?
God's staff.
God's staff?
God.
God.
God's staff. It's God. God's staff.
Yes. I don't know why you bought it. I feel your pain. So, we're going to open up the treasure chest, and we're going to see what's in there. Well, back up. Oh my gosh, it's stuck.
What's this?
A book. A
Bible. Bible.
A Bible.
A Bible. Now I feel like I'm in a Southern Baptist church.
Yeah, that's not valuable.
Yeah, so, right, so what's really valuable about the Bible? Because it doesn't really look like fancy gold or jewels. Yes, what else? Yes. Yes, you guys are all right. So, the Bible contains the good news of Jesus and his love. That is a priceless treasure. Without it, we would be lost. And it's so important that we never forget what Jesus did for us. What else do you think is in our treasure chest?
Oh! Gold.
I'm still hoping.
What is in there?
A t-shirt.
Okay. We have something else. Very valuable. Can anybody tell me what this says on the top right here?
The church.
What does that say?
Our church.
Family.
Yes. In spite of the booze, our church family. Okay? It's not gold. We may not always be fancy, but without our church family, we really don't have much, do we? That's everybody. It's Reverend Pate, it's the choir, it's the deacons, it's the elder, it's Mickey, and almost everybody sitting out there. That is our church family. That is what it's so valuable and worth so much to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. So I want to thank you very much. Unlike Miss Carol, I don't have any giveaways. Last year I did candy. My wife said I couldn't do candy again this year. So, but thank you very much. Remember, treasure isn't always money. Okay?
Is there anything else in that?
No. I checked.
I just want to remind the congregation, the Bible says to love your enemies. Thank you. Thank you. Our responsive reading in your hymnals, 698, Psalm 32. 698, Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit.
When I kept silent, my bones wasted away, through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you, while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by the bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him.
Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous.
This time I'll ask the elder on the door to come forth with a prayer and praise request.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today, Lynn and Mike Love are asking for prayers for their son, Cody Carson. He was diagnosed with high blood pressure, and so he's going through some tests to see how they can control that. Kathy Segi is asking for prayers for her nephew Brandon. He had to put down his dog this past week from cancer and pneumonia. She was literally his only friend. Be in prayer that he stays on the straight and narrow and that he finds peace in our Lord, whom he has not yet found. And Sue Gill is asking for prayer for her friend Donna, who fell down some cellar steps. And she's a relative of Sue's.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. You are the Lord. And you have made it. You have given it to us. To smile, to laugh, to fellowship, to pray, to sing, to worship. So we've gathered here today to do some of these things. To take our minds for a few moments off of ourselves and to place them totally upon you. And allow you to minister to each and every one of us. We thank you for the opportunity to be here in this beautiful sanctuary with these wonderful people. We know there's so many outside who are hurting, who are lost, who feel there is no way to turn. As we look at the story of Bartimaeus the blind man, I think he felt alone, scared, trying to do his best in his life. To move forward, to grow, to do the things that other people around him were doing. Where we can help others, show us how, when, maybe even why. Help us to do it as individuals, as family, as a church here at Glenshaw Valley. We lift up many prayer requests to you today, and we know that you hear us. We bring them in the name of Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior, and we lay them at your feet. Thank you, Lord, for every good and wonderful thing that you do for us, that you have done and will continue to do throughout our lives and throughout all of eternity. We thank you for Jesus, his sacrifice upon the cross, the gift of salvation, the many lessons that he taught, and this prayer that he gave to his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts,
and forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, a screen song, I Will Sing of the Mercies. You've given us gifts to use in your church to build it up, that others might hear the name of Jesus Christ and believe and be saved, that we might be fulfilled, we might grow in our knowledge, in our faith, and come closer to you. As pastor, I thank you for every wonderful thing that is done. Bless these people for the gifts that they give. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our friend. This time, Nick will come forward, scripture reader, and after the sermon, he and Catherine will be joining the church.
They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way.
Thanks, Nick. Nice. Very nice. Think you've been doing this all your life. Jesus and his disciples were passing through the city of Jericho, a very beautiful city in Israel, some 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem. Not that far by car, but when you're walking, it's a good distance. And Jesus was at the height of his popularity, and crowds greeted him as he came into the city. As Jesus was leaving, he encountered some desperate people that had nowhere else to turn. An ancient city would have a wall to protect it from attack. At nightfall, the gates would be closed for security. We've all seen movies where the drawbridge and things are, but it wasn't like that, just the doors would close. During the day, you would find beggars just outside the gates. They were the forgotten people, cut off often from family and friends, no help. The only hope was a stranger passing by that might stop, that might take pity on them and give them something to eat and maybe a few coins. Among the beggars that particular day was a blind man named Bartimaeus. Today we might find him in a busy intersection with a sign saying, blind, homeless, need food. Many people pass by just simply ignoring him, or they pass by on the other side of the road so they would not have to deal with the situation, pretend like he was not even sitting there. Bartimaeus was certainly a man that needed help. There were no government programs in Israel for helping blind people and train them for productive lives. There were no white cane or seeing eye dog programs to help them. There were no books on tape, no iPods to listen to music. Nothing but just to sit there day after day after day with nothing to do, time passing away. Bartimaeus was on his own, trying to cope in a world of perpetual darkness while all these people around him could see and they could go and they could do different things that he could not do. There have been many people who have physical eyes that did not function, were completely blind, and they've gone on to live amazing lives. Outstanding people, as we know, like Helen Keller and Louis Braille, who brought us the Braille system. But for Bartimaeus, it was a lonely existence. I imagine that he would have preferred a real job instead of sitting there all day, just waiting. Would he get enough money to be able to buy food? Would somebody put a loaf of bread in his basket? It had to be demoralizing sitting by the side of the road day after day, begging. But Bartimaeus never gave up because he believed, I think, that there was something better for him in life, and he wanted it. And suddenly it was here, the opportunity for which he had prayed for so long. Here, he could hear that something was going on. The crowds were murmuring, there was loud sound. A local celebrity and his disciples were passing by. A large crowd of curious folk had gathered to see this man called Jesus passing through the city on his way to Jerusalem. They had heard about his compassion. They had even heard that he had healed people. When Bartimaeus learned that it was Jesus, he knew and believed that this was his opportunity, maybe his one opportunity, his one chance in life to change his situation. This was his chance to escape from his life of dependency and despair. So he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many in the crowd began to rebuke him, telling him to be quiet, be silent. How often in life when a person tries to make a meaningful change in their lives are there people that try to hold them down? Don't do this, don't do that, you can't do it. But Bartimaeus cried out even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And something wonderful happened. Jesus stopped and he called him. And someone called to Bartimaeus and said, "Cheer up, the master is calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, Bartimaeus jumped to his feet and he ran to Jesus. And I wonder, is he stumbling? Is he falling? But he gets to Jesus. This is faith in action. This is enthusiasm. Enthusiasm that we should have about Jesus Christ even today. He doesn't just slink up to Jesus. He jumps up and he stands tall before the Messiah. Bartimaeus was disadvantaged, but Bartimaeus was not helpless. He had determination in his life. He was not going to let people tell him to be quiet. I'm not going to sit here when I believe that Jesus can heal me and just sit. I'm going to jump up. I don't care what people around me say. He saw his opportunity for healing and he leapt up for it. Bartimaeus wasn't like the rich young ruler that we talked about recently, who went up to Jesus and asked, "What must I do to be saved?" And then he went away sadly because Jesus had told him, "Give me your money and follow me," or "Give all your money away and follow me." But he liked his wealth more than following Jesus. Bartimaeus wasn't like the man beside the pool of Bethesda who, when Jesus asked him if he really wanted to be healed, made excuses for his situation. Bartimaeus wanted to see, and he was willing to pay any price to achieve that goal. Can you imagine what it would be like? What a difference determination makes in one's life. Then Jesus asked him an interesting question. "What do you want me to do for you?" I always thought that's kind of a strange question. Here's Jesus, he knows everything. Can he see that Bartimaeus is blind and wants help? What kind of question really was this to ask? Jesus knew it was important for people to clarify in their own minds what they want in life. You need to know. You need to know the direction, and Jesus can help you on that path. Jesus wanted Bartimaeus to proclaim to himself and to proclaim to the crowd what he was asking for. Jesus wanted him to articulate his need and express his faith. Bartimaeus' reply was simple. There was no hesitation, no bashfulness. No second thought, should I really do this? "Teacher or rabbi, I want to see." Simple, plain. He knew what he wanted. And what did Jesus say to him? He said, "Go, your faith has made you well." He could have said, "You know, I'm so powerful, I heal you, go." But he said, "Your faith has made you well." Because he had to take that first step to come to Jesus to get the healing that he so desperately wanted and really needed in his life. And then what did Bartimaeus do? Got his healing and he began to follow Jesus immediately. I love in Mark because he keeps saying, "Immediately, immediately." Jesus didn't say, "Well, if you go do this, and maybe in 5 years, if you serve, if you're good enough, then you might get a healing." He said, "Immediately, he was healed." Not only did his healing represent a victory over a physical problem, but his healing said to Bartimaeus, "You really matter." It's not just the rich people. It's not these that are in good health and can do something for me, can contribute financially or already follow me. "Even though you're blind, I care for you. You really matter. You are a person of worth, and I want you to know that the Heavenly Father cares about you." So often in life, determination is the defining factor that separates winners from losers. When a person simply refuses to be defeated by whatever circumstances he or she has to overcome, something, I think, magical happens. Doors open, mountains are climbed, attitudes are changed. Wilma Rudolph was 20th of 22 children. I can't imagine that. I'm being the oldest of five. 22 children. But she was born prematurely. I had a brother born way premature. Didn't know if he was going to survive or not. But she survived. And at age of 4, she contracted double pneumonia, scarlet fever, and it left one of her legs paralyzed. She learned to walk with aid of a metal brace, and when Wilma was 9 years old, she removed a leg brace and began walking. By age 13, she decided, I'm going to learn to run. And I always think of Forrest Gump, you know, when he starts running, and they say, run, Forrest, run. Well, that's what she did. But she didn't just run. She entered a competition, races to run. And for 3 years, she came in dead last every single race. 3 years. But then she started moving up in the pack. And eventually, she started winning races. Eventually, that little girl who was not supposed to live and then was not supposed to be able to walk and certainly not able to run won 3 gold medals in the 1960 Olympics in Rome. You know, for a lot of people, it's easier to give up than to endure. It's easier to blame others than it is to take responsibility for your own life. But there's power and determination. In the story of Bartimaeus, we see the power also of Jesus' love. And from this passage, we are introduced to a Jesus who is concerned of the needs of all people, not just a select group. This man whom he summoned into his presence was a beggar, a man who was scorned by society. The religious sect even considered this man a sinner because he was born blind. A sinner because he was born blind. Or this was a curse brought upon him because something that his parents had done or were being punished for. When Jesus healed him, he was signifying his worth and value and the significance of this blind beggar. And if Jesus cared for the blind beggar, the lowest, who was considered a sinner, wouldn't he care for everyone? He's saying to a scornful, he is saying to a judgmental crowd, this man is worthy of my attention and worthy of the attention of the Heavenly Father. He validated this man's humanity. My friends, there is healing and power in love. This is an assurance to you and me that there, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what sins we have committed, God sees us as valuable. God loves us. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we fall. But He is there to lift us back up. The amazing grace that Jesus Christ brings into this world. The grace of God reaches every human being everywhere in every single circumstance. This is the Jesus Bartimaeus came to know, a Jesus who valued him enough to stop and listen to his need, Jesus who was more than a miracle worker, Jesus who cared about this man as if he were his best and dearest friend. In 1901, Frank Graff was going through some difficult times. He had become very despondent. He had doubts, depressed, physical pain. He turned to the Bible for comfort and found these words in 1 Peter 5:7. He cares for you. After meditating on that truth, Graff wrote a song titled, Does Jesus Care? And the first verse asks, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way goes weary and long. Then the chorus of the song shouts out an answer. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Jesus cared for Bartimaeus, and that made all the difference in the world. We see the power of determination. We see the power of Jesus' love. We all see the power of Bartimaeus' faith in Jesus. Go, Jesus said to Bartimaeus, your faith has healed you. This is a refrain that is echoed several times in the Gospels. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you well. Sir Harry Lauder was a Scottish music hall vaudeville singer and comedian in the first half of the 20th century who was very, very popular throughout all the English-speaking world. He once explained his ability to carry on after his son's death when he was killed during World War I. He said, when a man comes to a thing like this, there are just three ways out of it. There's drink, and I would add drugs today. There is despair, and there is God. And he said, by God's grace, I choose to go with God. Some of you know what he's talking about. It's easy to give in to despair. It's easy to give in to depression. Quite often, the only thing that keeps us going is our faith in God. That God is there with me. God cares. And it was that way for Bartimaeus. He refused to give in to despair and despondency. Instead, he called on Jesus and he was healed. Regardless of who we may be, regardless of our circumstances, we need to understand every single day when we get up, every night when we go to bed, that Jesus cares. Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you. So start trusting in him. Start looking more to Jesus. Start believing. Start having faith. Open your Bibles. Spend some time in prayer. Turn your burdens over to him and carry on in the knowledge that you too can find help in Jesus Christ. You too can be healed. And know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loves you. You are one of his children. May God bless you and heal you. Amen.
This time I call Nick to come forward. Nick Allen and Catherine Blaisdell, if I'm saying he's right. We met together and discussed some of the things in the church, and I tried to tell them who we are as a congregation, a little bit about me, and found out some things about them. And then they met the session this morning and were voted and approved to become members at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. I asked them a set of questions in my office. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask those same questions. I'm trying to find the page. They live on Mount Royal Boulevard. Nick is an optician at Family Eye Care on McKnight Road. He's already helped one of the members of our church get fitted for glasses. He's born December 14th. Okay, I could read wrong and right.
I thought he
glasses. He enjoys cooking, reading, and writing. And they're not really into sports, they do other things. They circle on information sheet, library, kitchen duties, occasional gardening. And he was baptized Methodist.
No, Presbyterian. I was Presbyterian.
A Presbyterian,
yeah.
But he went to Methodist Church for a while, okay. And they've been together about 2 years and are engaged now. And he was born in Nashville, Tennessee, and moved up here at the age of 5. Catherine is the new business coordinator for Kyler County Insurance. She was born in 2890. So we're getting some young people in our church, almost 28 and 25, so that's very nice. Her hobbies are knitting, crocheting, and reading. And she was born in Maryland and moved up here to attend the University of Pittsburgh and stayed with a major in English and history, right? And I've got something I want to present to you. One of our members graciously had these made up and purchased them for the church. We sold some and now we're giving some away. So a refrigerator magnet. Christmas tree ornament. So they're very, very, very special to us and to make you think about the church. I'll ask you these questions, ask you to repeat the first sentence, and then two I do's and an I will question that we went over in the office. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Do you trust in him?
I do.
Do you intend to be his disciple, to obey his word, and show his love?
I do.
Will you be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way, and will you seek the fellowship of the church wherever you may be? I want to be the first to welcome you in the Glenshaw Valley, its full-fledged members, and I've told them they'll have all the right rights to vote, any rights that any other members of the congregation, even to serve a session of elders, but don't ask them right now. to get adjusted. I said something that day that they couldn't, their eyes got this big. Not quite ready for that. You can be seated, and I'll ask you to come back up after benediction and give you a chance to come forward and welcome them as new members of the Glenshaw Valley of the June Church.
Our closing hymn, 335, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Just want to remind you, if you are able to make a turkey or a side dish or come down to help clean or to set up, please sign up on the, I hope there's a list in the back, and so we can start getting that together. And just remind you, I put this PowerPoint, when you go to bed next Saturday, change your clocks, fall back.
As you prepare to leave this sanctuary, I hope that you go thinking about your situation in life. I hope you go away determined to be the best person, the best Christian that you can be. I hope that we go away with the sense of, let's make Glenshaw Valley the best church that it can be, the friendliest, the most loving, the most giving. God is calling us into relationship already has, and He's calling us all into service in love. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.